Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good afternoon on a bright and sunny Saturday, and welcome to Gatecast episode 78, unless my math is wrong.
Spot on. Hello, folks.
We're recording off our usual day because I unfortunately have work and life and funerals and things to attend. Any bump in our schedule is usually my fault. In fact, I've yet to see it being Mike's fault at all. He's very flexible.
Or I have a very, very dull life.
I was going with the compliment there, you know? You could have just ridden along with it and gone, yes, I'm flexible.
Be true to yourself. I work, I play, and that's it. And I'm fortunate that nobody's died recently. Or got married, to come to think of it. Or given birth. So I'm on a roll.
You just mentioned our moved house, perhaps? Because that's about the only major life event you haven't mentioned. Interesting.
What is?
Well, in the transcript list, the one after Tangent is Serpent's Venom.
That's not right, is it?
I've got The Curse.
Yeah, The Curse is next, yeah.
My DVDs have The Curse next.
Serpent's Venom? Where the hell's that come from?
It says 4.13. Jacob's in it. Herrera's in it.
It's the first time I've seen any reference to Serpent's Venom at 4.13 after Tangent.
Where do you have it?
After The Curse. 4.14. Right.
This is very strange because my DVDs would generally be in US broadcast order.
Mm.
And I have The Curse as 4.13, technically as V3S5. Tweet, tweet. Why is Twitter taking so long to come up?
Unless, of course, it's just the web service.
I have not linked the Twitter account to my mobile phone. You don't have a mobile phone, so bottom line, we can't do it.
Well, TweetDeck don't run through the HTTPI, does it? See, I've got stuff coming up on TweetDeck.
I don't know TweetDeck. Is that an Apple app?
Well, I think it's for all platforms. Runs on a desktop.
TweetDeck, your social world. Android, iPhone, Chrome. Available on desktop, Android and Chrome. Coming to iPhone and iPad. Not Symbian. Why does no one release for Symbian? Oh, by desktop, they mean Windows.
Ah.
That's incredibly arrogant. At least I think they mean Windows. Just says installing TweetDeck.
Are you enjoying Season 5 of Dexter?
Oh, immensely. I'm watching about 1 a.m. thinking, I've forgotten how much I like this series.
I've got into the habit now of saving them and then watching them all in one go.
That's like a day, dude.
It takes me a little bit longer than a day.
Well, maybe 2 days. I am for things for, like, toilet, sleep, food.
First episode when Julie Benz is in it, you know. The only good thing is that, you know, she still is working in No Ordinary Family, so she's still on screen.
Hmm. I knew her from somewhere. I didn't cop that link.
Ah, Darla from Buffy, an angel.
Yes. She's the super fast mother in No Ordinary Family.
The first season was lifted from the novels, wasn't it? Then they made up original stories after that.
Yeah, because the first season is a thing based on Darkly Dreaming Dexter. I also watched the House episode where Cutty's mother almost dies with the incredibly short credit sequence. It's like 2 seconds and then the names pop up. I don't know if they ran long or if they just decided to do it that way.
Almost always a time issue. House is one of the longer owning credit sequence on American networks at the moment. If you get over 10 seconds on some shows, you're happy.
But the shows are still 42 minutes long, which basically means they're trying to cram more ads in.
Oh, yeah. Made no bones about that. When Eureka and the other sci-fi shows went to short credits for their network broadcast, they admitted it. We're having more adverts, so we either lose story or we lose a title sequence. So, lost the title sequence. Then put it back for the DVD release and syndication.
This is Robert Picardo, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
And Richard Woolsey from Stargate Atlantis.
This is Vanessa Angel. This is Maris Rose.
This is Christopher Heyerdahl.
This is Clifton Collins Jr.
This is Mallie from Dollhouse.
This is Alistair. And you're just listening to the sweet and tasty sounds of the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
Live long and prosper.
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
I got a bad feeling about this.
There is no spoon.
Hello, I'm Scott.
Hello, I am Miles P. McLaughlin, and we are the hosts of the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
We're just ordinary sci-fi fanboys.
In each show, we bring you the latest news from the sci-fi movie and television universe, along with our commentary on it.
We review the shows and movies that we're watching.
We bring you interviews with Stargate, Dollhouse, Star Trek cast members, and many more notables.
And test your geek cred with the trivia that all sci-fi addicts should know.
We also occasionally give things away.
If you are a lover of all things sci-fi, then come dine with us as we host the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
You can find us on iTunes.
Or on our website at sci-fi-diner.com.
Right, let me just cue the episode up. Hey, I used to be DJ. I'm sure I've mentioned that.
Nope.
Two record players, two tape decks. Bad line. Sit. Stay. Good line.
Right then.
Let's just roll straight in, shall we?
Yes.
3, 2, 1, clicky. Fade in on. Very tight macro shot on little Egyptian artifacts. Props department seems to have gone a bit mental. You think really they actually made all this?
I imagine most of it's off the shelf stuff.
I'd hope so. Except that.
Yes, that's a custom piece. You can see where Tilt got the inspiration for the caterpillar.
Mm. Yes, old archaeologist.
Dr. Jordan.
Stephen.
What are you doing here so late?
Actually, I was just about to go down to the lab. We finally have a chance to do a resonance scan on the Osiris jar.
Great, great.
Another couple of weeks and we never would have known what was inside.
Well, we could always break the seal and take a look.
Do we know where the guest star is there?
Yes, we do. Stephen Rayner, played by Ben Bass. Seen recently in Rookie Blue, a Canadian cop show.
Of course it's Canadian. Everything is made in Canada. America is where they show it. Canada is where they make it.
Watch. The scan will reveal that that canopic jar contains the mummified heart of a 3,000-year-old pharaoh, and we're just handing it over.
I know.
That's Professor Jordan, professor of Daniels, as we come to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Played by David Abbott.
But not very long.
No.
Does even last past the teaser.
You coming?
Yeah, I just have a few things. I'll see you down there.
I seems fascinated with the, I believe the correct pronunciation is Nopic jar.
Yes. One area of study that you're going to be finding things about the civilization from now and forever.
Oh, yeah, career of a lifetime. That's a hand device, isn't it?
No.
It's not?
But it is solid gold, so you shouldn't be leaving it around, even in academia.
He's tempted.
Yes, ooh, pretty.
Stock shot. Sunny stock shot. Have we seen a sunny stock shot?
I'm sure we have, yeah.
Morning.
Hey.
What's that?
That's Tilk's into this stuff.
Daniel threatening to spill coffee all over. Well, looks at, you know, what the hell is he reading? National Enquirer. It's National Enquirer.
I'd love to get my hands on one of them. You know, they make up a whole magazine full of spoof stuff about the cast and characters.
Well, I'd say it's probably because I've actually bought a prop from Going Postal, Aquaphilia Guide to Pins Collecting. And basically, it's got the title page, you know, the cover.
Yeah.
Inside, it was some sort of circuit diagram thing. They got an actual book and just rewrapped it.
On the commentary, they actually said they made up these magazines so they could be fully seen on camera. Yeah, so Daniel was reading about his professor dying in a mysterious explosion.
Hmm.
That gives the reason for him to return to his past.
Written by Joseph Mazzello and Paul Mullie.
Yes. Directed by Andy Makita.
Whom you said only directed one more episode in the SG-1 series?
No. He did 29... SG-1 episodes, 22 Atlantis, and so far 10 SGU episodes. Also a long-term producer of the series. So he's been around.
Really?
Yeah. Right, The Curse first aired September 22nd, 2000.
I'm already awake, yeah.
On you. Wake up quick, we're back.
Dr. David Jordan was a teacher.
Little sort of mini Washington Monument.
A celebrated author. A much revered expert in the field of archaeology.
Does she have to hold them flowers in front of her face? She's shy.
Stephen. I have a vague memory of how this ends, but that's about it.
Yeah.
And of course, the really, really cute girl that.
Oh, yes. Surprisingly, it's not raining in Canada.
It's fitting, then, that a man dedicated his life...
Don't let yourself be distracted, mate. It's only Daniel.
Maybe he thinks Daniel is cute.
Could be. You never know.
Who dedicated his life to reviving the wonders and majesty of long-dead civilizations should himself gain a measure of immortality through that very accomplishment.
Well, by all accounts, Daniel is cute. At least according to female fans. I made the mistake of asking a colleague that. Did she think some guy was cute? She said it was a very strange question for me to ask her.
I tend to agree. There's lots of questions a woman can ask a guy, but a guy can't ask a girl.
I don't operate on that.
Yeah, so you just ask him, see where it goes. Mm. So he's speaking very highly of the professor.
Yeah.
I'll remember him always as a dedicated archaeologist, a kind and generous man, and a true friend.
Not so highly of Daniel?
He keeps giving Daniel the, look, I finished it and I'm going to get you.
Mm.
It's an old story, the prodigal child returning to the funeral after years away.
Producer Joseph.
The prodigal son returned.
Yeah, you've been using it.
Stephen?
Mm. This is the Fraser View graveyard.
Sarah.
Daniel.
Oh, there she is.
There she is. Anna Louise Plowman, a New Zealand actress.
Mm-hmm. Is she sounding New Zealandish?
That's where she's from. That's not where she lives.
Mm.
And does most of her work in the UK now.
She's got quite sharp cheekbones, and either she's standing up on something or she's got one hell of a set of heels.
According to the police, there was a slow gas leak in the lab and something must have caused a spark. The whole place went up. He was killed instantly.
She's very tall. Officially, she's 5'11".
In heels, she's probably about 6'4".
Yes.
That's okay.
I'm glad you're here.
I mean, she looks significantly taller than Daniel. Makes poor old Stephen look like a short horse. Talky. You know, the problem with this is it probably took ages to film.
Yes, would do.
So, how long's it been? 4 years?
Five. What have you been up to? I've been busy.
Really? I've looked for signs of you out there in the fringes. There's been no papers, no research projects. It's like you fell off the face of the earth.
Yeah, it is a little like that, isn't it?
This sort of single shot.
One camera shot and re-blocking all the time.
Mm, apart from the three shots.
Well, it was full when I started.
Well, maybe the world just wasn't ready to hear that the pyramids were built by aliens, or was it men from Atlantis?
Stephen, please.
Yes, Stephen, please.
Why did you come?
He does. You get the dynamic straight away. You know, they were all the students of the professor. Daniel went away, leaving Stephen as kind of the number one male heir to the work.
Yes, but he's always a beta. Daniel's the alpha male. It's weird seeing Daniel as an alpha male, but in this sort of context. Plus, I think Stephen might be carrying a wee torch for Sarah.
You do get that impression. There he goes, drives off in his BMW, which says it all. He should be pottering about in a Beetle.
So are you doing anything? Or?
No. How are yours?
Bit of a skeptic, wasn't he?
Ever so slightly. Men from Atlantis.
I suppose if you're studying Egyptian history and archaeology, you would take offence at a colleague coming up with they're actually landing pads for spaceships.
Mm, he's a gob charge.
You see, they were missing the rain, so they had to turn the fountain on.
I should have come back sooner. I guess I was afraid I wouldn't be welcome.
Are you joking? Even after everything that happened, Dr. Jordan never thought any less of you.
Hmm. See, Daniel signals. She's
she's actually unpinned her hair.
Yes. At least we didn't get slow motion.
Given the spray, I'm amazed they're not actually getting soaked.
Well, the fountain is a good probably 1,500 feet behind them.
The focus is how to tell how far away it is. Lots of leafy trees. Canada in summer.
Yeah.
He's always been in your shadow, even after you left.
I hear his book's on the bestseller list.
I know. He's getting a Porsche.
Ow!
I know.
Andy McKeeter, the director, praised the camera work on this in one single long shot, having to retain focus on for the full scene as they walk towards the camera.
Wonder how many takes it took.
He didn't say how many takes, but I suppose you can't. A scene like that, you can't keep redoing and redoing. Eventually you say, oh, it only went out of focus one little bit. It's okay.
Interesting two shot. She's sort of out of focus. Are we going to switch focus to her if she talks? Oh, no, we're going for the classic over-the-shoulder moment. Her hair does look like cloud-like, though, kind of frizzy.
You found something, didn't you? Something that supports your theory. Tell me. Come on.
I can't.
Daniel!
Okay. Let's just say that what the world knows about ancient Egypt barely scratches the surface.
They shot this so that the sun was behind each actor in turn, literally turning the bench around when they wanted to film each actor.
Mm-hmm. Now that's a Daniel I remember. Come on, I want to show you something.
As you can see, the sunlight framing both the head spectacularly against her ear.
Did you say her ear?
Probably came out like that.
Getting assigned to SG-1?
No one. I have decided to reschedule your next mission until Dr. Jackson returns.
Oh, another briefing room shot.
Hmm. With Jack in a t-shirt. Oh, Caterpillar's gone. Yay. Was that what they always for?
You'd have thought they'd have made a comment on it.
They didn't make a comment on it when it appeared. Why would they make a comment on it disappeared?
That's nice to know. The boss comes in. You can have a day off. Off you go.
Dr. Carter, you finally ready to take me up on that fishing trip?
Actually, sir, I have a few projects on the go.
Oh, come on. Are you really trying to tell me you'd rather work in the dark, dank, dismal underground than sit on a dock with your feet perched up, sipping a cold one and casting for that ever-elusive crappie?
Oh, Jack and his fishing. Yes. How many times are you going to ask her, Jack?
You know, does she not realise that asking her for a fishing trip
is Jack's kind of serious romantic way of asking someone out? Mm. And down again. Quick, run, Tilk, run. Too late. Look at his face.
So, Tilk, this would be great, just you and me. What do you say? Come on. The loons. Don't forget the loons.
Poor Till, you know, it is about time he was allowed off base by himself. You get the impression he's always there. He only gets to go out when Jack takes him somewhere.
Yeah, he's like a pet. Like, you go sit in your cage. Good boy. No stress.
This stuff is incredible.
I only wish we had more time with them. The Egyptian government's made a formal request for their return. We've been desperately trying to learn as much as we can before the deadline.
Yes, her height really suits the clothing she tends to wear.
Large and thin.
Sinewy.
Careful now. All these artifacts are cursed. Well, that's what they say.
This location was an actual building, the Maritime Museum. Most of the props, or the books you see, were there.
Mm-hmm. Which is why they're conveniently out-focused. You can't read titles.
Yeah, there probably won't be a lot of books on Egypt, but a lot about ships.
Mm. Well, Egypt had ships.
They did indeed, yeah.
No, it's fundamentally a river kingdom.
Yes, yeah, so the old mold spores kills everybody that opens tombs. It's not a curse. Science comes to the rescue.
If these things went down with the ship in 1931, how did they wind up here?
Well, they found the wreck a couple of months ago. All these artifacts were still in their packing crates. They brought it up and they shipped them to the museum. We just got them last week.
Well, I can stay for a couple more days if you need some help cataloging these.
Prop.
Oh, missing prop.
Yes.
What?
Something's missing.
And we wonder where that got to.
Are you slightly ahead of me? When you said missing prop, was she opening the larger box?
No, she was opening the smaller box.
With the hemp cloth wrapping?
Yeah.
I'm going with hemp. It's going to be historically accurate.
Casual wear. Tilk is not putting his hat on until he leaves the base.
It's a fishing hat.
Yeah.
Will be unavailable. Inaccessible.
Incommunicado.
Minnesota,
sir. I stand corrected.
If there's an emergency back at the base, better plan ahead and tell me now. Thor needs me, he's going to have to beam me up. If the Tok'ra, forget it.
Yeah, Jack's made his position quite clear.
I wonder if that's his own clothes. Is that the outside of the Maritime Museum?
I would imagine so.
Normally when a building pops up, you're like a little info pop, you're like, ding, blah, blah, blah. This building is here and it's located there. And
well, if they're filming at the Maritime Museum, there's no reason not to film the outside for a cutscene, is there? Mm. This is the curator, played by Lorena Gale.
Isn't she Mrs. Fredericks?
No.
She's not Mrs. Fredericks.
No, okay. That's, I think, C.C. Pounder.
Mm.
You recognise her from Battlestar. She was the priestess, Alosha.
Ah, the one that got blown up in season 3. Yes, okay.
Well, she did get blown up. I'm not sure if it's season 3.
No, what's this ISIS jar you were talking about?
I'll show you.
You're on Colbo, weren't you? She blew up.
Mm.
The damn crate was mislabeled when it came in. I only found it a couple of days ago.
Of course, they put the statue on the upper shelf so she can't reach.
This one?
Oh, yeah.
She obviously didn't put it there.
No. Oh, I opened the window.
Never seen those symbols before, have you?
It's actually warm enough to open window.
Yes. I'm going to need to do a translation.
Well, if If you need me, I'll be in the back, cataloguing the Polynesian death masks.
Yes, Daniel. Not the usual script you find on a piece of Egyptian... What's she doing?
What is she doing? She's working on a motorcycle.
Okay, that came out of nowhere, didn't it? Has she actually shown any interest in vintage motorcycles previously?
Not that I noticed.
An Indian, so a classic American bike.
Yes, well, other podcasts have had the Captain America discussion, so let's not.
Yes.
Where are you?
Still in Chicago. I'm in the basement of a museum looking at what appears to be an Egyptian burial jar.
Okay.
Yeah, no matter where they go, it's always work.
Something else besides the usual hieroglyphs. There's a second set of markings. They're gold symbols.
Oh, the cabin and the pond.
Is this our first proper shot? You said it's not... somebody's house that they rented, or?
It's actually...
one of the producer's houses?
This is a national park, and it's a protected area. So that cabin, I believe, is the either the gamekeepers or the wardens, you know, where they work from.
Tuke's not even sitting down.
He's not happy.
T, it's not about the actual fish themselves. Fish are not important in this context. It's about fishing, the act of fishing itself.
I see.
The pond is actually only 6 inches deep, and they weren't even allowed to actually touch the water except for the fishing lure.
Well, at least Jack knows how to cast. Well, fly fishing, you can often fish in shallow water. I mean, you'd usually fly fish in a fast-moving river, not much more than 6 inches deep.
Yeah, that's like a still water pond. There's no current or anything. Either way, it was meant to be something that it wasn't. And Jack's giving Tilk the evil eye because he brought a cell phone with him.
Yes, Daniel, he's right here. Please hold.
No, Jack takes his vacation very seriously.
The transcript says it's a Harley, that bike.
That went to Harley. That was an Indian. You could see Indian written on the fuel tank.
We have caught nothing. We are fishing.
Right.
The refrain of many a fisherman. You don't go to catch fish, you go to fish.
Kor Kra Terak Shri.
They like his blood, these mosquitoes do.
Banished to oblivion.
Right. Okay, thank you.
If you require assistance... I would be more than happy to return to the SGC.
No, thanks. I think I can take it from here.
Yes, I don't think Tilk wants to stay there, does he? Please, help. I suppose, really, Tilk does feel a bit hemmed in at the moment.
Goodbye, Daniel.
No, wait.
There goes the battery.
Yeah, he could have visited his wife, couldn't he? Or and his son, if he had the day off. Oh, I thought so.
Well, so much good for anything else.
Just stand there and get bit.
Oh, he's actually brought General off base?
No, that's the SGC. That's Daniel's office.
Is it? Sorry. I saw our books. I saw dark lighting. I made an assumption.
Yeah, you would think they'd put the lights on. The main lights.
I mean, this isn't CSI where they have to, even in full Florida sunlight, shine the lights on everything.
It's handy having contacts high up, because I'm pretty sure he's not allowed to take that artifact out of the museum. Especially when the Egyptian government wants them back.
See, Isis was the consort of Osiris, supposedly the first pharaoh of Egypt. Now, according to legend, he was placed in a magic box and dumped into the Nile by his brother, Seth.
Now that name I recognize.
And he's telling us the story, Isis and Osiris... So these are two Egyptian historical figures that we haven't actually met yet, and obviously we are going to meet them.
Major, I want the contents analyzed.
Yes, sir.
Now, I'd be careful if I were you. For all we know, it could be some sort of Gould booby trap left behind by Osiris as a means of revenge. Also, it's cursed. So.
Obviously, everything's cursed. It's Egyptian.
Yes.
Can you imagine he's tripped and dropped it?
Well, that was... She showed it. Where's that character carrying off?
General, there's something else. The inventory of the Stewart expedition lists two jars.
Can you find the other one?
Well, I can try. I was going to head back to Chicago tonight.
Yes, that's not the only reason, is it, Daniel?
No, Daniel wants some sugar.
Oh my God, I can't even talk. Surely he could have waited till the morning.
Hello?
Well, maybe he wants to encounter her at night and sort of, you know.
Well, I assume he doesn't expect to find her there. I mean, how does he get in? Daniel, he gets his own ID. Daniel Jackson, SGC, combat archaeologist.
You broke up there, sorry.
It was profound what I said, don't worry.
I'm sure it was. I heard the word archaeologist in the middle somewhere, or at least three of the five syllables.
This was nicely shot, just using Daniel's flashlight as a light source.
I'm sure there's another light source there, there's nowhere, unless it's a low light camera, you wouldn't get that much detail.
Do you mind?
Ah, Stephen.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
I asked first.
Well, that's a bit suspicious, isn't it? Almost as suspicious as Daniel being here.
Weird.
That guy's made to be a movie star.
Right. I had a few questions for the curator.
I don't think she's here. The lights were out when I came in. What did you want to ask her about?
Yeah, so is Stephen being friendly, or is he trying to get information out of Daniel?
Mm.
Either way, the lights are mysteriously out, so alarm bells should be ringing. Especially as Daniel suspects...
If the lights are out, the power's out, so the alarm bells won't be working.
Well, the internal alarms in Daniel's head should be ringing.
Well, this is home. He's not expecting ghoul stuff.
Well, if you find evidence of the Gwold in artifacts contained here, then surely you've got to be suspicious.
Yes, positive. Okay, well, what about this gold amulet?
Daniel, if you're looking to get back together with Sarah, you know, that's your business. I really couldn't care less. But I do have a problem with you coming here and involving yourself in my work.
Mm.
Yes.
That's it. Shine it in his face. Completely destroys night vision.
Ah, there we go. Mm.
Sarah and I were Dr. Jordan's assistants. You haven't been involved since you walked out on him.
I didn't walk out on him. I was trying to protect him.
You mean you distanced yourself in order to spare him the embarrassment of being associated with you. Daniel, you really should not have come back.
Look, I don't want to get into this with you right now, but you need my help.
Now, why...
Surely Stephen knew where the fuse box was?
Yeah, he must have done. Ooh, that's not good. One dead curator.
I see blood.
Lots of blood, yep.
Oh, God.
I hope there's no metal in that, if that's an MRI.
A preliminary analysis of the jar indicates the exterior is ordinary ceramic. It also appears as if the seal has been damaged.
Any indication of what might be inside?
Well, it may be metal, but it's probably a super-duper alien metal that doesn't react to magnets. Of course, what MRI have you seen that has blue light like that?
Yes, and results to that level of detail instantly without 3 hours of computer processing to interpret the data.
Well, it could be an alien MRI machine. They must have got brought some technology back they could use.
An ARI.
Yeah.
Yes. An ARI, then an ARI.
Hmm. Daniel's
distracted. Do you think she's already been thingied?
Thingied. I'm sure she's been in her life, yes.
Might.
Snip, snip.
Really, I mean, it's usually up to me to make those sort of comments.
I just felt it was appropriate.
You mean you felt it was inappropriate?
Exactly.
They found some bricks at the bottom of the freight elevator shaft, and they think that they came from the wall above, and... a freak accident.
You know, the papers are saying the curse of the mummy strikes again.
Mm, we have a mysterious rectangle.
Fortunate that.
Mm.
Do you have any pictures of the Osiris jar, the one that was destroyed in the explosion?
She's got just the right clues that Daniel needs.
Yes, how convenient.
Of course, at this stage, you've been... Initially, all the pointers were at Stephen being a bit suspect.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, Sarah seems to be the suspicious one.
Mm.
We were unable to identify the symbols, but Dr. Jordan copied them in his notebook.
That's the story of Daniel's life. You know, he has all this knowledge, but he can't tell anybody how he's come across it.
Mm.
Four. They're not Egyptian.
No, they're not Egyptian.
So what are they?
What are they?
You know. How?
Let's just say I can't really go into it right now, but this is very important. Did Dr. Jordan do any kind of preliminary tests on the jar?
Not that I know of, but he kept all his lab results on the computer.
Now, it would have been fun to see Dr. Frazier and Sarah standing next to each other.
Dr. Frazier's not very tall.
Yeah, she wanted to shine some lights into her eyes, she'd need a stepladder.
Why's there an asshole standing in the background?
Because they know what's in the pot. Stedgy.
He looks uncomfy. Shit, on my camera. Do something. Move. Demonstrate your acting ability in the 3 seconds you're on screen.
He's
dead. We can relax.
You don't, you know, pickle gold.
Hmm.
Do we know how long it's been inside the jar?
According to Daniel, several thousand years.
Well, it's perfectly preserved.
I wouldn't have...
Come on, Sam.
I wouldn't have thought Sam was squeamish.
No.
That was definitely an ew, Wince.
I mean, what she's seeing.
I saw the word Stargate pop up there.
Did you?
Oh. Hmm.
What?
Dr. Jordan's files are gone. Everything's been wiped clean. Including his email account.
Do you keep backups?
Yeah, they're not here.
Ah, the plot thickens.
My God, 5.25-inch discs. Oh, bless, it's been a while since I've seen those. Those were broadcast in 2000?
Well, they looked a bit big for 5.25.
Sorry?
They looked a bit big for 5.25.
It's been ready to be overwritten. There's usually a window of about 30 days before that happens, so I might be able to retrieve the files before the tombstone values replicate through the network.
Yes, Daniel's eyes glazing over. Very Sam-like. Just, I wish it was that easy to get deleted stuff back.
It is if you know how.
Exactly. It is if you know how. If you don't, then it's a pain in the arse.
Which is why you have people like me.
Yes. If you know how to do it, you're not telling because it keeps you in work.
No, Microsoft's continued screw-ups keep me in work. If they didn't write such bad operating systems, I wouldn't need to support them.
This means you were right all along.
Yeah, I know.
Egyptian civilization must be thousands of years older than we've ever assumed.
Sarah, you can't tell anyone about this.
What are you talking about? This is exactly the evidence you've been looking for. Completely validates your theories.
Look, all we got is the results of one carbon dating analysis done on a missing artifact.
So we can contact the technician who performed the analysis.
Yeah, Daniel trying to downplay it again. A 10,000-year-old artifact when the Egyptian society is not that old.
Dr. Jordan wasn't the only one to get these results.
Ooh. So again, pointing at Stephen.
Hmm.
Stephen.
You got the results and an hour later the professor's dead and the artifact is missing.
By all rights, that gold symbiote should be a dried-up, desiccated husk, but instead it's in perfect condition.
Nice. Back projection?
Yeah, they make excellent use of the rear projection facilities in the set.
It gives the impression it's a giant flat-screen TV, which is presumably what they were looking for.
Yeah.
The inside is a technologically advanced containment vessel. There's a tiny Naquita power source designed to emit a low-level electrical charge.
Why?
Well, we can't be certain yet, sir, but I would guess that the jar is some sort of stasis chamber.
It beats having a little 18-inch CRT to watch everything on, doesn't it?
Mine's 22. Well, it's not CRT. I'm sure I had flat-screen monitors at home by 2000.
You might have done, but the SGC don't.
Not that size, anyway.
The liquid inside the jar seems to have sedative properties. Now, if it's maintained at the proper temperature, and if it is provided with sufficient electric charge, it could probably keep a symbiote alive indefinitely.
Then why is it dead?
Good question, General.
The seal was broken.
And a simple answer.
Yes.
Major, what you're saying is true, and the second jar survived the trip unscathed.
Yes, sir. There could be a gold out there.
Da, da, da.
The other one could still be alive.
Yeah, there could be.
Do you think they just filmed that for about 10 minutes during the day and 10 minutes at night and then they just chopped it up and dropped it in?
Yeah, that would be the most economical way to do it, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Even better, just take a still picture.
That weren't a still picture, I could see leaves moving.
Daniel! There you are. I've been looking all over for you.
Yeah, I was just doing a little extra research.
I went by Stephen's place and he's gone. He's just packed up everything and left.
I know.
Yes, she wants you, Daniel, but not in the good way.
Oh, sure. Well, she might want them that way as well.
Yeah, but Daniel may not survive it afterwards.
It's the way every man wants to go.
Yeah, but not until they're about 80.
I'm aiming for 130 myself. Based on advances in medical technology, artificial organs, etc., etc., I should make at least 130.
If you can afford them.
I'll be able to afford them. Maybe develop some of them.
They found the body of the technician who did the carbon dating on the amulet.
Oh, poor Daniel.
Daniel... I know, Stephen. He may be capable of a lot of things, but he's no murderer.
Well, you may not know him as well as you think you do, at least. Not anymore.
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, let me guess. You can't explain, right?
Sarah?
Well, what do you expect, Daniel? You show up after 5 years, but you can't say where you've been.
You've got this mysterious ability to be able to read an ancient language which nobody's ever seen before, but you can't explain how. And when we finally find the evidence that's able to vindicate you in front of the entire archaeological community, you want to cover it up. What is going on?
She's playing him wonderfully.
Well, his keys and buttons are clearly labelled.
You tell him. Poor Daniel, he's getting browbeaten. I'm on my day off.
A holiday. It's Marcello again.
Yes, and Daniel, whenever he has time off, gets into trouble. Jack has to rescue him. Sam just tinkers about on machinery.
For Sam, tinkering about machinery is a day off.
Oh, yeah, nothing really changes. She's not tinkering machinery. She's out and about tinkering with other stuff.
Yes, unfortunately, at least on a day off, she doesn't tinker with things that might accidentally blow up half a solar system.
At least not until she's after finished tinkering with them.
I'm asking you to tell me. This is my life's work too, Daniel. So you're working for the government? What? Daniel!
I'm sorry.
You're just going to disappear again, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah, can't play that card, Daniel. You've got to tell her.
I think Stephen was right. You never should have come back.
Oh, I don't like that look. That was a little bit cold came over. Tell me, I'm young and pretty.
Daniel. Now, Daniel, you were in there. Just screw that one up, haven't you?
She's given him plenty of opportunities.
You believe that Stephen Rayner has been taken over by a ghoul?
I don't think he has. I think he's just an asshole.
Well, at this stage, again, everything's pointed to him.
Mm-hmm.
He got the memo. The professor died and the artifact is missing. And Stephen is missing.
Mm.
Ghoul isn't interested in its monetary value, so...
Then why take it?
That's a good question.
Yes, still don't know exactly what the artifact is meant to do, if it does anything at all. But it obviously has some significance. And the people that would know it would be either Osiris or Isis.
Hmm.
Well, that might explain why it was the only item taken.
Well, I checked the other artifacts for any indication of Naquita, which is usually a sure sign of ghoul technology, and I came up empty.
Assuming this ghoul is Osiris, what does he want?
Well, he's been out of the loop a long time. He doesn't know what happened to Seth or Ra. He could be looking for the Isis jar.
Or a way off the planet.
I've already put the base on alert.
Yes. What happened to Seth and Ra were SGC. We killed them.
Yeah, you go away for a few thousand years and everything changes. Who is she injecting? Oh, she's formulated
the sedative. Darts. Did you not watch this yesterday?
I did. Well, not yesterday, I didn't. I think the day before.
Well, even though it's been in stasis for several thousand years, it could still be a valuable source of information.
I want you to hold that option in reserve. Your priority is to stop the ghoul with minimum risk to yourself.
Phone, General.
Frasier. Yes, he's right here, sir.
Told you.
It's not the red phone.
No. Hammond, like it, little red tranks.
Yes. All right, thank you. We've got a lead on Stephen Rayner. He boarded a flight to Cairo 4 hours ago.
He could be headed back to the temple in Egypt where the jars are first discovered. If we move fast, we could head him off, sir.
I can alert the Egyptian authorities, but this needs to be a low-profile operation. Dr. Frazier will accompany you.
It's not always a good idea to try to tranquilize a ghoul.
No.
I mean, useful if you actually do capture him, but they are rather dangerous. And surely they've learned by now, shoot him in the knees or something, anything.
Daniel's having his Indiana Jones moment.
Yes. And that is actually Sam and Janet in the Land Rover.
Really?
Hanging on for grim death. Yeah, that was them.
Even in this bit?
Yeah.
The long shot, like.
They didn't even use doubles for it.
Maybe it was fun. It was like, let's go again,
It actually looks a lot slower than it actually was. They were just told, don't put your arms outside the vehicle and you'll be fine.
I think I know why this place doesn't get any tourists. According to the GPS, we've still got another 10 miles.
Presume in the long shot, Sam was actually strapped in some way.
I would hope so.
You're flying out of the blue jeep.
When they look at the dailies and realise, you can't tell it's me anyway.
Okay, now this is bull. Unless someone came in about 10 minutes previously and swept all the sand in, that floor should be a lot dustier than that.
You would think so. And I know when you look at the Great Pyramids now, it seems like the Egyptians don't really give a monkeys about them, but... you'd think even...
Well, actually, right now, they probably don't.
Oh, yeah, true. They should be thankful you can't burn them down. It's normally what writers do. Oppressive building, burn it down.
They get the point. You made inappropriate sexual references, so I'm going to do the puns.
Oh, that's handy. A receptacle that's exactly the same shape as the artifact that he's got in his bag, which he's managed to smuggle into Egypt.
And he's just taking something out of his bag. How did you...
Because I've seen it before.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure it's not his packed lunch.
I'm still convinced that's hemp. Or possibly muslin. Whatever the hell muslin is. Yes, now, this would probably not be a good idea.
Okay.
You could all the things. 2001 theme tune.
Of all the things you expected, I'm pretty sure that wasn't it.
No. Now that is a hand device.
Yes.
It's the turbo version of the hand device. It includes ring summoning option.
Yes.
It's the deluxe edition. You can't use it, Steve. Oops, you don't have that with it in your blood.
As you can see from the... yeah, drive along. Just follow the tracks. You'll get there.
Yeah, so where was this shot?
The Richmond Sand Dunes.
They built that?
Well, they built that bit.
Of course, the long shot is just a model.
Yeah.
Why is Frasier? Frasier's a civilian.
I suppose because they want to tranquilise him, they need some medical personnel.
Yeah, Daniel, put the girl tranquilizer dart in your mouth.
Yeah, needle first.
That makes perfect sense. Why, it's a ghoul. Of course, it's still a human. Shine torches so they can tell you're coming. Announce your presence. No point in sneaking around if we're going to shine a bloody great light in. It's a nice set. They built this?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Although the far wall is just cloth.
Hmm. Stephen, not well.
Stephen.
Well, at least he's not dead.
Yeah, so much for that theory.
I'm not sensing anything. He's not gold.
Hmm.
Nice down close shot on there.
She does look rather fetching in that outfit.
Yes.
It kind of suits her.
I quite like the fetcher.
Daniel. What happened?
What happened? What do you think happened? You're looking for a ghoul, Daniel.
Do the math, Daniel. Accept that the cute, pretty girl is now an alien monster.
Theory was right all along. I'm sorry.
There was only two alternatives. It's either Stephen or Sarah.
Just take it easy, okay? I need you to hold still.
Ouch. Oof. Does that hurt? Yes, it does.
Does it hurt when I do that? Yes. Well, don't do it then.
The Osiris jar, did you open it?
No.
Much chatty ecstasy. Come on, where's Sarah?
Why did you come here?
I figured out the amulet was a key. There's a hidden chamber. I wanted to make the discovery.
Daniel, we have to get him out of here.
Stephen, who did this to you?
We want to see Sarah. Preferably in a nice, flowy, semi-transparent dress.
I did. Sarah?
Yeah, you do remember the end of this one, don't you?
Can't imagine why.
Here we go. Backlit as well.
Well, the eyes were backlit anyway.
No, Daniel.
Presume they were stunt doubles.
They were stunt doubles, yes. So much for the tranquilizer.
Daniel Jackson. You seem to know much of the Gould. Much more than any other human I have encountered since my awakening.
Oh, she looks mean.
Yes.
Tell me, where is the Stargate?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The flanging on her voice actually sounds pretty good.
Hard to have not good voice coming out of that.
Now is not the time, Daniel.
This temple was once filled with worshippers.
Yeah, well, times have changed.
So I have observed.
Mind you, he's told her nothing so far, so why should he start now?
You mean Seth, he's dead. We killed him.
Yeah. Yes, we... yeah, sorry about that. What? Yeah, she killed him over there, the one... Sam, you killed him.
So, oh, God. We've killed so many, you know. You kind of lose count.
Yeah, I've got them written down here.
I will rule without opposition.
No, you won't rule at all. You see, we don't worship false gods anymore.
You have come far, it is true. But you are still weak. Even now, you are torn between your desire to kill me and your concern for my host. She who freed me from my long sleep.
Of course, the disturbing thing is that this is a male Gwald in the female host.
My queen.
Daniel, there are people out there who will get down on their hands and knees for her, no problem at all. Of course, Osiris at this stage was actually imprisoned by Seth, so the fact that he's dead is actually good news. Go on, tell her, tell him. Doesn't really make much difference.
Oh, those glasses almost look like a collar now, don't they?
Yes, Daniel's brain tends to get heated and cooled quite frequently. Either that device isn't really that effective.
Where is my queen? Tell me.
He's got an impressive reach. Well, the sedative doesn't seem to be acting as quick on the host as it does on the symbiote. Although it does at least look like it affected her.
You will pay,
but just not quickly enough. Ah, so this is actually a control panel to a ship. Nice shot there.
Yes. It's quite a large ship.
Well, it's, you say, much bigger than a cargo transport, but it's not an attack.
No, it's not a full-size pyramid. It's sort of more of a ziggurat.
It's amazing. Nobody's noticed this.
It's been cloaked.
She has got long legs.
Yes, I did notice the legs.
Yes. It's basically the top of a pyramid.
Make no mistake. Osiris will return. And the rivers of the earth will run red with blood.
Nicely framed against the doorway. Purely by accident, according to the director.
Sure.
Yeah, it's about the time you wake up.
Daniel wouldn't be too happy I'm shooting her. Now, those rings took a lot longer to activate.
They did, didn't they? But they haven't been used for a while. You know, the system's got to boot up and everything. Now, normally this place would explode. I'd booby-trap the place at least.
It was more interesting getting out of there. Yes, that outfit definitely suits Janet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think I'm getting used to that thing.
Where's Osiris? Gone.
Yes, you're going to think up something. Tell everybody, because you've lost them, Daniel. Not a good day.
If we get him out of here right now, I think he'll make it.
In the meantime, I guess we'd better make up a story to tell him.
Now, this is an unusual feature in a spaceship. What is the point of that? And where did it come from?
The point of that is probably to navigate an atmosphere. Gives a degree of aerodynamics, or it may even just pick up energy.
I'm not going to knock Starship design. It's not as if I know anything about it.
On the subject of Starship design, did you watch the shuttle launch?
I saw some video footage of it. I didn't actually watch it on TV.
Well, it weren't on TV. It were on spacevidcast.com.
Well, I didn't even look to see if it was on TV, but I watched it on the web.
Fair enough. I thought it was a logical leap, given that it was like before last.
I had no idea when it launched, but I just happened to catch some footage on the...
I got a text.
Unfortunately, you won't see one shuttle launch unless you're there live. It's just the same as every other, hence the lack of funding for the project.
Well, the last shuttle launch I watched, it blew up, so...
I didn't watch that one live either.
I think it was live, just after I came in from school.
I watched the very first one live.
Anyway, that were the course... introducing the lovely actress name.
Anna Louise Plowman.
Thank you. Whom we will see again, which I don't think is a spoiler, because it's fairly clear that they're intending to use that character again.
Oh, yeah, they gave her a lot of build-up. Mm-hmm. A lot of build-up. And quite frankly, you know, you get someone who looks as good as that and comes across as a real bad guy as well. That's pure gold for a writer to work with.
Yay. Choose Henry. Jump, 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 jump.
Exactly. You've got to have a bad guy. I mean, at this stage, you know, one of your favourites we haven't met yet, and he carries the mantle for many a season.
Yes, indeed. And we can just leave that as a mysterious hint.
Indeed.
Next week's episode is entitled Serpent's Venom. SG-1 travels to a remote interplanetary minefield to sabotage a hazardous alliance between two powerful ghoul system lords. But the mission becomes far more dangerous than it is. Teok has been captured by one of the lords, who plans to use him as a pawn in their evil negotiations. This copy just keeps getting worse. For those of you who aren't familiar with the term, and given the current saturation of madmen on most channels, I'd be surprised. Copy refers to text usually written for promotional or advertising purposes. Gatecast, educating you linguistically. Expand your vocabulary.
Does that mean, though, it's got to be bad?
No, there's good copy.
Or never intended to be read by the public.
It's written on the back of the box. Where the hell do they think it's going to be read by?
The bloke that actually wrote that, saw it on the back of the box, says, I didn't know they were going to use it. I could have done so much better.
On the next Stargate SG-1, the mission to destroy an enemy alliance.
Sounds very risky.
Insane might be another word.
By sabotaging a minefield.
The last time a Toku was sent to attempt this, they were never heard from again.
One false move.
I have a problem here.
And everything could blow up in their face.
I think it's going to explode.
But the real crisis? One of their own waits to be sacrificed.
What's he offering?
Teok.
Now, will this turn into a suicide mission for them all?
We got to go back for Teok.
It's too late.
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
It's almost as bad as... Because I didn't realise there are little plus, which I didn't cop when I had a DVD remote, when I was watching them on a PC. There's a little plus beside each episode on the B5 discs, and it has the On the Next Babylon 5. That is truly awful. It's even worse than the SG-1 stuff. It's read in an overly dramatic but non-gravelly American voice.
Oh, yeah. I say, we have the TV spots for Stargate. We can get a copy. I always put into the podcast right after you read the blurb off the DVD cover. And it is done over the top, but a quick 30-second glimpse of the episode to come, it serves its purpose.
Yes, but let's face it, if you went purely on the TV spot, you go, oh God, I'm not going to watch that. It's yes, not going to garner new viewers,
They do
is it?
Put as many people off as they get people intrigued by it.
Probably about 50-50.
Yeah.
Just say the word.
Open the iris.
Hi, folks. We have a little news and a bit of feedback. First, the feedback from our friend Daniel, who posted on the Gatecast website this comment for our tangent episode. Hey guys, just had to say I laughed so hard when Mike said wee. What can I say? It felt like a wee moment. News for UK fans of Stargate Universe, at least for those who had patiently waited for the broadcaster who has the rights for the show. Sky One returns a series to the small screen from Monday, April the 11th at 8 p.m, and it's about time. The franchise has done very well for Sky One over the years, and like other broadcasters, they seem keen to push it away. Anyhow, my subscription to the satellite service ends before the show returns. But hey, I haven't been watching it on that channel which I paid money for, so nothing much changes. Prop Works are kicking off two eBay auctions, the first starting Sunday the 3rd, and running for a week, which will feature just artwork from the franchise. Blueprints and episode-specific concept art are included. Link in the show notes. Getting back to Daniel, he will be joining us for the Season 4 recap recording session, in which we spend a few minutes talking about each episode and looking at the results of the ongoing poll. We would love everyone to visit the poll and vote for their favourite Season 4 SG-1 episode. And why not send us an email, MP3 or text comment on any aspect of the 4th season for inclusion in that episode. That's the news and feedback for this week.
Come try ya!
Anyway, that's pretty much it. Any final thoughts on the episode, since we wandered off into shuttle-related things over the credits?
As always, you know, I've came away from that episode pretty much enjoying it. I didn't really see anything wrong with it. They had a couple of excellent guest stars. The location shooting was good. The story was good. Even better because we know it's going to be expanded.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic bad guy. We'll see where we go from there.
Definitely a Daniel episode. Everyone else pretty much supporting character. The odd Jack moment.
So.
But that was pure Daniel focused.
Yeah, it's surprising how many episodes Daniel is getting. He seems to be the favoured one when they want to do a single story.
In some cases, he plays more than one character.
Oh, yeah. You can't really do a lot of Jack's backstory because he was Black Ops, so it didn't have much relation to the series. Sam's very technical, and most of her backstory is related to her family.
We have Sam's father.
We have done, but that's got to be a Toker episode.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Tilt, we've already dealt with his family, and we don't see more of that until later on in the series.
Daniel has probably
got the greatest potential for Earth-based stories.
Mm-hmm. A surprisingly expensive episode for an Earth-based one. The effect shots and the sets. I mean, they normally got, I mean, most shows go, oh, yes, we're doing an Earth-based episode this week. Great, it'll be cheap.
Well, yeah, that's it. They went on location to the museum, which couldn't have been cheap. They went to the middle of the little sandpit in Canada. That's probably not cheap.
That's the wonderful thing about Canada. You've got all these locations. It's just a huge country.
Yeah. Unfortunately, as time went on, that sandpit grew smaller and smaller and smaller as they developed on it. To the point where they could only film in one direction. Or you could see buildings.
Come try ya!
If you need to email us, the email address is gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. If you need to find the podcast, somebody gave it to you, you got it through an online subscription, we're on iTunes as Gatecast. We're also listed on Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle. If you want to leave feedback, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. You can also leave us feedback on the website, that's gatecast.phasecast.com. There is the Facebook group, which is The Gatecast. And finally, you can also tweet us, we're The Gatecast on Twitter as well. Thanks very much for listening, and hope to hear from you next week.
I think we're pretty much wrapped.
Same here. Thanks for listening, folks, and we'll see you next week.
Have fun. Bye now.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.